Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
We want to learn how to conquer the influence of Babylon. The reason why this is important is that America has become like Babylon. Now, in the Bible, there are four Babylons. Number one, there was the ancient city of Babylon, the site of the Tower of Babel or Babel. And then there was the Empire Babylon, of which Babylon, the ancient city, was its capital. And then the Bible tells us that in the future, that city, that ancient city, will be rebuilt. And then the fourth Babylon is a system, a way of life. It is Babylon the system. And if a society is not aware or not cautious, then this way of life, this Babylon way of life, can invade and pervade an entire social system. And such, I fear, has happened to these Americas. So let's see that this America, or pardon me, this Babylon is a way of life, and see if, in fact, it doesn't liken unto our present condition here in America. First of all, we understand that Babylon was morally like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodomy was not only legalized, but practiced openly and, in fact, promoted. And then we understand that Babylon was filled with pride. We've already given you these scriptures behind this. It was given over to self-gratification. Everybody in Babylon was out to please himself. The ego was as high as it ever had been in human history. And then Babylon was non-supportive of Israel. In fact, Babylon invaded Israel. And that's where the four young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were kidnapped out of Jerusalem and out of Israel, brought back to Babylon. They learned how to survive in a society that was the antithesis of the way in which they were raised. That's why we want to learn the principles from the book of Daniel so that we too can learn how to conquer the influence of Babylon. I say conquer not only because they conquered the influence of Babylon, but they changed both the political and the spiritual climate of the entire nation. And that's what needs to happen in America. So I suggest to you that if we'll learn the Daniel principles, the first of which we're going to learn of in just a moment, we can have the same effect here in these United States of America. All is not lost because there is a God factor. There is no point of no return because His grace is quite capable. In fact, the scripture says that where sin abounds, the grace of God does much more abound. There's reason for optimism, not by looking at America per se, but by looking towards a people who will practice the principles in the book of Daniel of which we're about to learn. Fifthly, Babylon was a place of diverse sorceries, drug taking. The word pharmakeia is used in the Bible about Babylon, the word from which we get pharmacy. And not only that, but there were sorceries in the sense of fortune tellers. And that led to another thing that prevailed in Babylon: false sources of direction. Horoscope was in, astrological symbols. People consulted the stars to determine where they were going to go. And in fact, we understand that Babylon was given over to the philosophy, which is known today as hedonism, H-E-D-O-N-I-S-M, hedonism, which is nothing more or less than the pursuit of self-gratification and of pleasure. And Babylon was like America in this respect, that there was the devaluation of children. Children were slaughtered. Children were sacrificed, even as they are in America today. And in Babylon, the single lifestyle was promoted. In fact, marriage was downplayed or left till very late in life because they were the generation that emphasized the freedom of being single with all of the benefits of being married without the responsibilities. And then it was a place that had knowledge but no wisdom. Knowledge abounded. I mean, Babylon the city and Babylon system has full of knowledge. Knowledge has a premium. In fact, in the last days, it says knowledge shall increase. And just like Babylon, we have knowledge today, but without wisdom, because wisdom differs from knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to see life and respond to life from God's point of view. And so they had knowledge without wisdom. And there was widespread fornication. All their advertisement, all of the seduction and the training of children was the free society that allowed premarital and extramarital sexual deviations of every sort, widespread fornication. And then there was mass demon possession. The Bible says in the book of Revelation about Babylon that all kinds of evil spirits pervaded her. See, a lot of what's happening today is not just the product of people, but behind the people, there are demonic influence. Unclothed demons lurk in the shadows, pushing people to do what they otherwise would not do and motivating them. Mass demon possession. In fact, their music was demon-possessed origin. That's why Daniel refused, and so did the other three friends of his, to bow at the music and move with the music. Because it was full of evil and demonic influences. And then Babylon was centered around the false worship of God. And so, in fact, we shall probably see that in detail in a moment. But ultimately, the Bible says that Babylon was going to be destroyed. And I can't help but shudder somewhat to realize that these same conditions are so prevalent today in our society. But I asked the Lord, and I think we have an answer here from the Scripture, that we can learn the principles on how to conquer the influence of Babylon. That's the question. How do we, in the midst of this Babylon society in which we live, how do we prevent its influence from infiltrating and penetrating ourselves, our families, our marriages? How can we do that? So we want to learn the first of the principles, and here it is. Number one is that children must be raised to maturity in a Babylon-free environment. I want to make sure you get that in your notes. Children must be raised to maturity in a Babylon-free environment. Now, when these young men who were in Babylon, they were asked to sing a song. And here's what they said, and it's become a famous and well-known verse. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. You see, they remembered how they were raised back in Jerusalem. And compared with the present society in which they were lived, this godless, God-hating, lawless, self-gratification society, it caused them to weep. And this is what they said. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. Look at this. For there, they that carried us away captive from Jerusalem brought us there. They required of us a song. And they that wasted us because they were castrated required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs from how you're raised. One of the songs of Zion. But they answered with this, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? To every true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today, there is a sadness at the depth of our being because of the society's condition in which we live. So, we, like them, must learn the principles of how to conquer the influence of Babylon. It begins with raising children who are Babylon-free during the maturation. Here's the description from the book of Daniel of these four young men. Look at this. They were children in whom there was, number one, no blemish. Number two, they were well-favored. Look at this. They were skillful in all wisdom. They were cunning in all knowledge. They had understanding in science, and such as had in them the ability to stand before the king's palace. This is the standard by which we must raise our children. Children in whom there's no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and able to stand within themselves before the king. That's why the scripture says that if you see a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. We must raise our children in a Babylon-free environment to these standards with these goals in mind. Raised to maturity. Look at this now. Raised to maturity with, how can this happen? How can we raise them in a Babylon-free environment? And here's the answer. They must be raised to maturity with no Babylon teachers. How can we, who believe in prayer, turn our children over to teachers who teach against prayer? or a system that denies their right to pray? How can we who believe in God turn them over to an educational system that teaches that there is no God and that evolution is how we got here? You see, we cannot turn them over to teachers who are from Babylon. No Babylon teachers, no Babylon peers. Equally as bad as the teaching is turning our children. How can we who want our children wise turn them over to children who are foolish and indeed fools? There could be no Babylon peers, no Babylon environment, no slothfulness, no disobedience to parents, no disrespect for police, no dishonor of pastors, no lustful eyes, no immodest apparel, no premarital impurity, no unnatural affection, no encouragement to rebels, no occult involvement, no alcohol beverages, no tobacco or illicit drugs, no irreverent or unwholesome music, no profanity, no vulgarity, no evil imaginations, no character deficiencies, no, none at all. If we're going to have children that we can raise properly, then they must be raised free of all of these influences, or we will lose them. I want us to catch this again. Children must be raised to maturity in a Babylon-free environment. Well, the question is, where are you going to find a Babylon-free zone in which to raise your children? And here is the answers. Do not miss it. Here it is. Ready? It is your home, your household. Now, people say to us, excuse me, you can't shelter children forever. I want you to learn a couple principles here. Number one, if there is a lot of evil around, you need to regulate it. If you can't regulate it, you need to insulate from it. If you can't insulate from it, you need to isolate from it. These are the three principles every one of us need to know. Regulate, insulate, isolate. And so this is how we must remove ourselves as a last resort. Otherwise, our children shall be raised like them. Now, here's a picture that depicts it. Because this is the choice. We either put our children and keep our children in a Babylon-free environment, or like the apples in a barrel with one bad one, they will become bad. They will take on the likeness of their environment. We either have to separate or amalgamate. There are no other options. Now, I want you to understand that this is a biblical view, that we should raise our children this way. I want you to see this verse in the book of Romans chapter 12. It's such a critical verse. And here's what God is saying to us through the Apostle Paul. Here's what he says. I want you wise about that which is good. But watch this now. But I want you simple concerning evil. I don't want you to know a whole lot of evil things. Do not study evil. Do not study witchcraft. Do not study immorality. I want you simple concerning evil, God says. I only want you wise about that which is good, simple concerning evil. Now watch this. If we will raise our children with this standard, wise about that which is good and simple concerning evil, there is a result. I want you to see the next verse. Look at it with me. The next verse says that if we'll do this, that the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet in short order, shortly. How does this happen? If we will raise our children with wisdom about that which is good, but simple concerning evil, then God promises that Satan will be bruised under our feet and their feet in short order, and they will conquer and live in victory the rest of their lives. But if we say no to these principles of God, then we will not see the victory in our children. They will become victims to the society and the evil in which we live. Why do we need a Babylon-free zone to raise our children? That's an important question. So here's the answer. Number one, we need a Babylon-free zone to raise our children. Number one, to prepare our children for life in Babylon. We cannot isolate them all of their lives. But we need this zone where we can raise them to maturity. In fact, let me show you this in a diagram. Look at this with me. We need a training period here where we train our children, because someday they're going to start this Babylon experience and exposure right here. A mission period. So watch with me again, because at birth, they from birth until what we call spiritual maturity, during this is the Babylon free zone we're talking about. Because once they come to spiritual maturity, then they enter Babylon right here, and they will be able to cope with Babylon because they have been raised to spiritual maturity, Babylon free. So the first reason we need a Babylon free zone is to prepare our children for life. Watch it in the diagram again. We prepare them here for life here. The second reason that we need a Babylon free zone is to prepare our children without enemy interference during the training period. It's unthinkable that we should send our soldiers to training camps where they allow the enemy to come in with their artillery and guns and shoot our boys while they're training. No, we train them in an enemy-free environment. And yes, there's some simulation. Yes, there's some training about what's going to happen when they get to when they really face the enemy. But we don't invite the enemy into our training camps. Why should we invite Babylon, the spirit of Babylon that's gripped America? Why should we turn our children over to them and let the enemy have free course with our children during the training period? We need a Babylon-free zone in order to prepare our children without interference. And it's because the Bible says this. Look at the scripture with me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, I want you to see, watch the scripture again, because I want you to see it in view of this diagram. Look at this now. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets over here, when he's old, he won't depart from what he learned over here. That's why we need a Babylon-free zone. Number one, to prepare children for life in Babylon. Number two, to prepare without enemy interference. And then thirdly, to equip our sons and daughters to conquer. Look at the diagram with me. We want to prepare them here during this level, so when they get here, they won't give in to Babylon influence, but they will see this as a mission time, and they will conquer the evil influences. Now, I want you to see that your children need this Babylon free zone. Watch here. John, by the Holy Spirit, is writing to us, and this is what he says. Number one, look at this. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him that is from the beginning. And I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. Now watch this. And I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. He is writing in this book, 1 John, to three categories of people. To fathers, to young men, and to children. Now watch what it goes on to say. And I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And I've written to young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. You see, they already learned during the training period to overcome the wicked one. Now watch this next scripture. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me say that again. Love not the things in Babylon. Don't love Babylon. Don't love the things that are in Babylon. Because if any man love what's in Babylon, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot serve God and the world. They are at enmity one against the other. Now watch, because here's why. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, this is what is in Babylon. This is now what is in America. The lust of the flesh, immorality, the lust of the eyes, materialism, the pride of life, bitterness. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Now watch this. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now I want you to see the next verse. Don't miss this, because it shows who this passage is aimed at. Look at it. Little children, it is the last time. I want to suggest to you in as strong terms as I can that the enemy has infiltrated the society. We have misused our freedoms. Instead of freedom having the power, being the power to do what we ought to do, freedom has been the right to proliferate. Can you imagine? In the name of freedom, the killing of babies and the practicing of immorality and the divorcing of our spouses and in fact, we have learned how to walk away from our children. We have abandoned the children. It's treasonous, my friends. And unless something happens in America where there are a people who are living by principles that are so dynamic and so powerful, we shall give in to them and America will be lost. That's why, watch here again, the diagram. We need a Babylon-free zone here to train our children and get them ready for life here in Babylon. Why do we need a Babylon-free environment to raise our children? Because children must be raised to maturity in a Babylon-free environment. Now, I want to show you a scripture that when I first saw it, shocked me to the core. Pleasantly so, I must add, I want you to see this. For God said unto them, now watch this. Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. Now watch this. Look at this now. Which ye shall command your children to observe and do. All the words of this law. Now God's saying, I want you to take note of what I'm teaching you, because I want you to command your children to observe and to do all the words of this law. Now watch this, because this next verse is profound. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Listen, fathers, it is not a vain thing to pour your life into your children, teaching them the things of God. Look at the scripture says, because it is your life. Your life is not your job. It is not the game of golf. It is not sports. It is not your hobbies. Your life is not your vacations. Your life is raising children in a Babylon-free environment to observe and to do the ways of God. And that's why we come to this scripture, which we must come to. For this is what it says. If you want to understand, fathers, this is your life. This is the main course. The job just pays the bills for us to effectively do this. Because the scripture says here that, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now watch this, because I don't want you to miss this. Children are as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are children. Children are like the arrows in the arms of a mighty man. Children are like arrows in the arms of a mighty man. The arrow must be made. It must be shaped. It must be straight. It must be true. It must be prepared. It must be aimed. It must be released. Where have we got this idea that there's something wrong with directing the life of our children into the future? God says that's our job. That these children are like arrows in the arms of mighty men. The fact is, the perversion of democracy has got us into a place now where we think, well, the children are free to choose anything they want to, and we subject them to all the ungodly, evil options of the world. And let me show you what happens. Because if our children are turned over to educational systems and peers that are the main influence in their life, then somebody else will aim the arrow. And that's why your children don't get along with you. That's why there's strife in the family. And that's why teenage rebellion exists. It's because somebody turned the arrows against the fathers and against the mothers. That's why God says, I want children to be like arrows in the arms of mighty men, like the children of the youth. Now watch this next verse, because the Lord says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of children, lots of children, because they shall not be ashamed. Look at this. But these arrows shot. You see the most important moment? When you shoot an arrow, is the last split second before you release it. Because that determines the target. It determines the direction the arrow flies. And this says that God intends that these arrows shall be, look at this, they shall be like, these arrows shall go into the future, and they shall speak to the enemies in the gates. They shall speak to the enemies. They shall speak to the enemies in Washington and state capitals, city capitals, because they're like arrows in the arms of mighty men.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.